On our church's website. Yeah, if I turn it on. So you can watch the Facebook video that Jim's doing, or you can go to our church and just listen to the audio. But so we spent 3 weeks talking about chapter 13 of Revelation, and these two beasts, the one that came up out of the sea, and we believe that to be the beast is the Antichrist, and the second out of the land was the false prophet. And Job kind of represented those as Leviathan and Behemoth, the sea and the land beasts. And we even talked last week about the mark of the beast. And I wanted to give you an example from history. And these are the notes I gave you. The first page is from Jeff Trude. He gave me six pages on a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes. And so I thought we would just talk today. This was a little picture I found of, I thought, so that's how to spell his name. And this just says, is the little horn of Daniel 8, Antioch Epiphanes. And the first concept I want you to think of is this, your first word that goes in your blank is the word dual. And I'll just write it on the board. Pink. I don't know if I want to use pink or not. And so when we say dual fulfillment, in other words, Daniel's talking prophetically. And if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of this this image. And it was, you know, the head of gold. That was Babylon. The chest and arms were of silver, I believe, and that was the Medes and the Persians. And then kind of the midsection, the trunk, was of brass, and that represented the Grecian Empire. And it mentions that here in Daniel 8. And then the legs and the feet, the legs were of iron, and we said that represented Rome. And then the feet were part of clay and iron that didn't really mix. And but historically, if you think of those were world powers, right? You know, Babylon ruled the known world. And so when Daniel's talking here in Daniel 8, he talks about this little horn that comes up and, you know, causes this damage. And we believe that little horn to be this Antioch Epiphanes. And you might know this, that, you know, between our Old Testament of Malachi was around 400 B.C. And then, you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, the birth of Christ, you know, we're in the year 2025. We're just ending it up. And it's 2025 A.D., which means the year of our Lord. And so he was born about 2,500 years ago, you know, around the year zero. But so sometimes the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they call that kind of God's silent years, the 400 years of God's silence. There's and so this guy Antioch Epiphanes, if you were to Google that, he shows up at around, you know, the year 175 BC. So he's in this intertestament period. And he's a good type of the Antichrist. And but when we say dual fulfillment, you know, this Antiochus, you know, he was around 175 BC. And so Daniel was prophesying of him some, you know, 400 or 500 years. Daniel was probably around 600 BC. Uh, And so he is not only talking about Antipas, but he's also talking about the Antichrist. Does everybody see what I mean by a dual? So this is almost a principle of Bible study. If you were to read the book of Joel, Joel prophesies about these locusts coming and destroying all their crops. Well, that happened, you know, shortly after he said it was going to happen. But it's also a prophecy of pestilences in the tribulation period. You see what I mean by dual fulfillment? And I'm sure there's others where you can... There's kind of an immediate fulfillment of the prophecy, and yet it's worded in such a way that it can mean something yet future. So anyway, that's what if you look at your handout there, dual fulfillment, it's meant by the term dual fulfillment in regard to prophecy, is that there's a near fulfillment and yet a future fulfillment in Revelation concerning certain prophecies. So any questions about that? What are you thinking, Joel or TJ?
I was just wondering, so that intertestamental period.
Yeah.
When some of those, Septuagint books or whatever.
Well, I think what you're probably talking about, and I brought it today. This is the Apocrypha.
That's it, yeah.
There's about 12 books that the Catholic Bible has in them, and. There's some false doctrine that comes from these, so that's why it's not in our Bible. But this story of Antiochus Epiphanes is in the book of Maccabees, 2 Maccabees. And so I brought that for a reference, so that's pretty wise that you brought that up, brother.
Yeah, I just wondered because those books were in the original King James.
They were.
I wanted to ask the guy, I didn't get to it, but he told how arduous of a process
yeah.
to get all those translated, and they still went through that process for those other books. So
uh-huh.
Why did they go through that process? Why did they, you know? So.
I know that there is some mistakes, and I've got a couple examples of some false doctrine, like the idea of indulgence, like paying to get people out of purgatory, and the idea of purgatory is found in here. So that's why the Catholics keep it in there. But also I've heard that there's a reference where the same guy dies three or four times in, and I haven't actually found that. I've read most of this. I haven't read quite all of it, but anyway, so those are some mistakes and maybe some false doctrine examples. But I want to go through this. And even if we just get through this, and if you like these notes, thank Jeff Trude. And by the way, Jim didn't mention it, I don't think, but Brother Jeff is sick today.
Oh, fine.
So we picked up Chuck. Jeff usually picks up Chuck. And also Pastor David Neville's sick today. So two of our pastors are kind of down. And I think Randy's filling in for Jeff. And so anyway, sometimes we kind of limp along. And so just be in prayer for our pastors as you think about them. But I want you to notice here, just with, you know, kind of this history as a backdrop, it mentions these four kingdoms. Alexander the Great is the one that developed. He was the leader of the known world, and it was pretty short-lived, the Grecian Empire, but it was pretty broad. He lived around 320 to 300. He was a pretty young man when he died, around 30-some, yeah. And but he really conquered the world in like 12 years. It was a pretty, and you notice even, I feel like things are happening pretty quick even in our world, don't they? And so we're not, you know, we need to keep the faith. We need to disciple our young folks. And
another thing that I've learned by faith in reading the Bible is there's a lot of good things that's happening too.
Yeah.
Like there's more rights for pets. And they're in Missouri, they're making it to where some people won't have to be infected anymore.
Oh, okay.
You're taxed for longer. So there's been some improvements.
Tracy, I'm glad you brought that up. Here's something I seen on the news this week. Bible sales are up 11% over this time last year. So that's pretty cool. And I got another one here. This is, some of you have the YouVersion of the Bible on your phone, maybe? Does anybody have that?
What is it?
The YouVersion. It's called YouVersion.
I use it on my Alexa.
Do you? Okay.
Open YouVersion. Yeah.
They've now downloaded a billion apps, so,
oh, wow.
So that's pretty... and then there was one more I took a picture of. This is just as I was watching the news and stuff. And this is a few months old here. That let me grab my stick. Just this is saying that annual Bible sales are up 41% since the 22. So that's good. Religious and spiritual app downloads, almost 80%. It says, so that must be when I took the picture. And then Spotify is streaming Christian music 50% up from 6 years ago, which maybe there weren't a lot then. But anyway, those are just some kind of good numbers. So thank you, Tracy, for bringing up. There's just a lot of good things happening as well. But let me, I didn't know if I had time to bring that up today or not, but since you said it, I did. But this thing of these four kingdoms, so if you think about Greece, I think it's C, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's where they make donuts, is in Greece, right? So, let me see if it's... do you see this in verse 21? The rough he-goat is the king of Greece. That's Greece. And it was broken and four stood up. It says there's four kingdoms that came out of Greece. And one of them is this Antiochus. He was one of the generals that came out of there, and these four kind of, this became Rome. And so that happened in that intertestament period. And so that leads up to what we're saying here. And so on your handout, we're going to look at verse 23 through 25. Can everybody see that pretty good? And that'll save you from looking there. What Jeff does is he breaks down each of these sentences in all three of these verses. So that's what we're going to cover today in the next 27 minutes. So it says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And so we're going to consider with me that this fierce king, or king of fierce countenance, is this Antiochus, but it's also the Antichrist, a king of fierce countenance. And so he takes this phrase, the latter time of their kingdom. He says, the Grecian kingdom of Alexander the Great was broken into four kingdoms, and Antiochus the Fourth rose to power in the latter days of those four kingdoms, and he is the little horn of verse 9. So if I go back to verse 9 of this same chapter, it talks about, out of them came forth a little horn which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. So this little horn, historically, was probably this Antiochus. And it says in verse 23, when the transgressors were come to the full. And I don't know if you've ever heard about, you know, the influence was so great is that, you know, Greek became the universal language of the day of the when Christ lived, right? Our New Testament was primarily written in Greek. And so the Old Testament was Hebrew, the New Testament was translated from Greek, so the language was prevalent. the Romans built this road system. I heard that Rome built about 250,000 miles of roads, and 50,000 of it was paved. So it was incredible. So in Galatians, when Christ was born, it says, when the fullness of time was come, Christ was born of a woman. And so it was the fullness of time. The language was just right. The Romans had the road system, but their culture. Have you ever heard of Hellenism? Maybe. So it was a Hellenistic, and it was it was very worldly. And if you Google Hellenism, some of the images probably will be indecent, but. Anyway, it says when the transgressors were come to the full, this host meant the Jews who accepted Hellenism, and they were against the daily sacrifice. And so the phrase, "are come to the full," marks the end of God's long-suffering. I put long-suffering. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? I mean, He was long-suffering with me, and I bet He was of you too. And so it was like, that's what the tribulation period is God's going to pour out His wrath, but it took a long time for that wrath to build up. I mean, even today, Christians are being martyred. That fills up, God's wrath when that happens. But like in the Old Testament, at the point that the Jews went into Babylonian captivity, Chronicles says that it happened at the point when there was no more remedy. So that's when God, His long suffering and His mercy. So it says that their transgressors were come to the full. So this was a wicked time, and God's people, Antiochus, was causing His people to transgress. And then this king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences. Let me show you this slide I found. I thought this was... This will probably say more than I do. These are some of his... These are some of his positions. He made the Torah reading to be punishable by death. Like you having a Bible, you could be killed for that. That type of thing, right? The Torah is the Jews' law, the book of the law. And he... it says he butchered or he sacrificed a sow like a pig on the altar. And that's what this is a picture of. This is like Antiochus. He's sacrificing a sow or a pig. That's what that's picturing. That's a picture of the Jews' altar. And then he actually erected an idol to Zeus in the Holy of Holies. And that's called the Abomination of Desolation. And TJ mentioned this, there's a Maccabean revolt. And so there's a guy named, I think it's Justin Maccabees. And there's a dad and a son.
Yeah, the hammer.
Okay. So these guys, at some point, so the Maccabean revolt, and it says 3 years, but a couple of references I had says that Antiochus was over them for about 3.5 years. So it really fit the thing with the Antichrist. And they rededicated the temple in this month, in that year. And this word is where we get the word Hanukkah. That's this 8-day feast. Because what happens is, I guess, Jerusalem was kind of in shambles, and the Maccabees were able to overthrow Antiochus. And they only had like enough oil to light the candle for one day, but it lasted for 8 days, and so it was like a miracle. And Jim, would you mind looking up this verse, or one of you guys, and just read that for us, because in the Bible it actually mentions a version of Hanukkah. It's called the Feast of Dedications, and Christ actually attended that. So even though it happened between the New Testament or the Testaments, what does that one say, Jim, those two verses?
And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter.
Yeah. And so, I think that's going on right now today, isn't it, Hanukkah?
Last week?
Yeah.
So it's right this time of year. And so this is just really relevant to what we're studying here. This king of fierce countenance, if you look at letter D on your handout, fierce countenance means aggressive in temperament, fierce in character. He was violent to all who opposed them. Understanding dark sentences speaks of superior intelligence, concerning perplexing problems, possessing the ability to solve difficult political issues, and wise in the use of deception and deceit. So historically, this Antiochus, his outrage, he killed 80,000 Jews in a fit of rage. And prophetically, the Antichrist will execute all who oppose him. So there's some historical as well as some prophetical meaning here. And then at the end of verse 23, it says, he shall stand up. And so Antiochus, he arose from obscurity and appeared on the scene. He was once a prisoner of Rome, and he became the general and leader at that time. And prophetically, the Antichrist will rise from obscurity out of the confusion of the world. That's where the Antichrist raises up out of the sea. And then letter F is the next verse. So let me go back to this verse in Daniel. So we're kind of leading up to Revelation. I feel like there's enough about the Antichrist. I wanted to keep going on a little bit.
I don't know if I can put this in, brief words. You know, the Antichrist will always, he always mirrors or emulates.
Like a counterfeit.
Heard people say it's like a test game. Jesus Christ, God, he takes a step, and Antichrist is a fake thing to pinpoint Antichrist. So the Epiphanies chose that word.
Yes.
That word means that I'm God.
Yes.
Manifested, I am God.
Yes.
Jesus, God, did the same thing in his. It's the glorious appearing is kind of a dual thing.
That's a good observation, Pam.
And it means, that's why we say, "Oh, I had an epiphany." It's like a majestic appearing, like it just magically came. Now
I didn't think about the word even epiphany.
And it's that term means an appearing, like.
Yeah, it means.
Christ is saying, "I am God."
Yeah, it's a manifestation. Very good.
And Jeff Turner teaches Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel in HBI.
Yes.
Give an opportunity, even if it's an audit.
Yeah.
Please take it. I can't either.
So that's why we're just going through these three verses, but it definitely ties in with Revelation. So verse 24 here, it says, "And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people." And so I have letter F on your handout. It says, "And his power shall be mighty." So historically, Antiochus was able to amass huge military power and win victories before he was defeated. Prophetically, the Antichrist will also have massive military power, but will suffer defeat at Armageddon. And so we'll talk about the battle at Armageddon when we get there. And then letter G says, but not by his own power. So historically, Antiochus was demonic toward with the Jews. He desecrated their temple. He desired to be worshipped as a god. Prophetically, the Antichrist will receive power and authority from the dragon. And then letter F, it says, he shall destroy wonderfully, or H, he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice. And this phrase, destroy wonderfully, Jeff says, means a degree of corruption, ruin, or perversion beyond the ordinary. And to prosper and practice means to succeed in establishing one's own agenda. So historically, Antiochus surpassed Babylon, Persia, and Alexander of Greece in eradicating the Jewish religion and culture. It says he built a gymnasium next to the temple to draw away young men. And so it has to do with athleticism and, you know, the sports arena. So he built this big, nice gymnasium or athletic structure right beside the temple just to draw away young men instead of going to the temple. Letter J there, this next phrase, and through his policy also shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. So that's the next verse here. Verse 25. And so this will be the last verse we discuss here. It says, and through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. We know who that is. But he shall be broken without hand. And so letter on your handout, historically, yeah, it's letter J. Historically, Antiochus was working on a peace deal with Egypt while preparing for an invasion. So he sat down at a peace meeting in Egypt, and he's trying to make peace in Egypt while his armies are coming down to kill everybody. So he's working out a peace deal, but he's really plotting to destroy. And prophetically, the Antichrist will uproot three powerful kings. He will destroy the great harlot of mystery Babylon, and he will prevail over God's people for a season. And so these things happen with Antiochus, and it'll happen with the Antichrist. And then let's see, did I mention J? I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't mention that.
And through his policy he shall cause... So historically, okay, and then prophetically, Antichrist will utter lies while pretending to speak the truth. So I had you put just the word lies in your blank. And so essentially that's what he was doing in Egypt, and that's what the Antichrist will do. Letter K, and he will magnify himself... I don't know what it means by in his ear, and by peace shall destroy many. Antiochus, and this goes with what you were saying, Pam. Historically, Antiochus had coins made with Antiochus Epiphanes on them, meaning God manifest.
No, that's heart. That should be heart instead of here.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, good job, honey. Which letter is that? I can't find. Okay. Okay. Man, rough crowd here. Well, and then prophetically, the Antichrist proclaims himself to be God, which is abomination of desolation. So, like you said, Pam, very similar. He added the word Epiphanes to his name, meaning God manifest. And then at the bottom of your page, letter L, he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Historically, Antiochus desecrated the altar by sacrificing a sow on it and putting the blood in the holy place. And here it says Antiochus died. He was insane in the year 164 at the hand of God by being eaten up by worms. He had some kind of disease and he was just eaten up by it. So prophetically, the Antichrist blasphemes the Most High and stands against the Prince of Princes in the Valley of Megiddo, but is cast alive into the lake of fire along with the false prophet. So that is all of your first page there. And my teaching point at the top of your back of your page is that Antiochus Epiphanes IV was called the man of sin in his day. That's interesting. He was called the man of sin in his day because of his murderous reign over the Jews and desecration of the temple. And we can read about him in the apocryphal book of 2 Maccabees. And I started reading. I couldn't find the chapter and verse he was talking about, because in his notes he quotes some of them. But there is a 1 and 2 Maccabees in here, and it does mention Antiochus more than once. There's 1 Maccabees. And anyway, so it does mention Antiochus in here. So,
Steve,
yeah.
Don't miss on 25 that the prince of princes.
Yes.
The capital P.
Yes.
Every jot and tittle in the Bible.
Yeah, he stands against
the prince of princes.
The 25?
Yes.
He stand up against the Prince of Princes. So that is a phrase for Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace. And so the Prince of this world stands against Christ, and he's going to be broken. And just like Antiochus was broken and ate up by worms, so the Antichrist will be broken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think I'll just pause there. We'll get into Revelation 13, but I really like those notes. Hopefully it's relevant to you and relevant to our study of Revelation. I thought Jeff's notes were really good, and so I wanted to give them at least the cliff notes to you. And I think the thing I was thinking about is I probably won't see everybody till next year. So next Sunday will be a new year. I think that'll be the 4th, something like that. And so we'll pick up in Revelation. And Jim, if you want to plan a little bit more of AI, I think everybody's really liking that, and I am too. So thank you for that. I can tell you, I mean, you've been at it your whole life, so this is, we can glean a lot from that. But I thought I'd just kind of conclude maybe just, I remember last year at our pastor's retreat, like in 2024, December 2024, I know Brian went over like Matthew 23, and he talked about, you know, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. You know, you tell everybody to do this, but you don't do it yourself. And Brian just talked to us about having the right heart. And I guess I just wanted to share that with you. Just, I think of that often. This is in Proverbs, King Solomon said, I was almost in the midst of all evil. Or I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. And, I've been in ministry long enough. It can become mechanical. It can become, and I was telling Angie that, you know, I really enjoyed having some time off and studying. It was so cool for me. And Jim, you'll laugh, but I've got my laptop hooks up to two monitors at home. So I got like three monitors going, and it was just good to have nothing but time. And I could sit and I'm reading Jeff's notes on one screen. And I'm cutting, pasting, and I'm looking up these images. It was just fun for me. But in the middle of that, you can, you know, lose sight of, you know, we're talking about God, we're talking about heaven, we're talking about people, we're talking about life. And so we don't want to lose sight of Christ. in the middle of Christmas or any time of the year. And so we want to serve with the right heart. And you were going to say something, Tracy?
Yeah, but I was in groups because Ben has preached me. Everybody's preached me. Ben tried the hardest, though. And you have to come to it on your own.
Yeah.
And actually form a relationship with God before you really get what you're talking about.
Amen.
You know, everybody knows.
Well said. Yeah. Yeah, it's got to become personal to you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Right. It's like,
I pick up my Bible and I read, and I do pray to God, and I do talk to people about the Lord. And when you start doing that, it's like, you grow from grace to grace. God gives you enough grace to get to where you're at, and you become obedient. He'll take you to the next step. And one of the things, some of you know, I did jail ministry from like 2005 till 2011, about 6 years. And Brian Hedges started our jail ministry here at Cass County, and I was able to hand that off to a man that led it for a few years. Some of you know David Cundiff, and after him was Richard Steele, and I know Bob Hall, and some others did. So up it went from 2005 till 2019, so that's like 14 years. We did jail ministry here at the Cass County Jail, and they asked us not to come in for a while because they were doing construction. And then before they were done with construction, COVID hit for a couple years. And so I think 2 years ago, a group from Hope City started going in there. They're called Share the Hope. And they go in one night a week. I think it's Monday night. And this spring, I went to the... they had chaplain training. And there was like six or seven from our church, and there was about six or seven others. So there was, about 15 of us. And there was a sheriff from, I think it's in the middle of the state somewhere, some county. He presented the chaplain training, and he's also a Baptist pastor. So the sheriff of their town is also a Baptist pastor. So he was sharing things about the Lord and putting them up there about the chaplain training, and it was just really good. And I also got to meet the lieutenant at the jail here. His name is Lieutenant Sutcliffe, and John Sutcliffe. And he is also a believer. And he I got to talk with him, and I got his business card, and I tried to email him a week later and let him know, we're interested in doing jail ministry. And then I called a couple times and just left a message, and I stopped by there a time or two. So I finally thought, well, Lord, I tried, Well, that was this spring. Well, in the middle of December, he emailed me and said, and he didn't even mention he got any of my calls or emails, but he emailed me and said, hey, I knew you said you used to do jail ministry. And he said, people in here are hungry for Jesus. And he said, would you be open to having a jail ministry again here? And so Ray Blowers and I met with him, and in January 11th, we're going to start going into the jail again.
Oh, cool.
And so it is a praise. And I mention that because if you're a member of this church in good standing, and you don't have a felony, we ask him about that, because we got two or three folks with felonies that would like to come in, and he wouldn't allow that. And but he said, trying to think here what I was going to say. Anyway, if you're a member here in good standing, and you've completed D1 or you're almost with D1, you would be eligible to go in. And Ray is trying to collect the a picture of your driver's license by the end of this year to email to John Sutcliffe, and so he can do a background check. And so that we can have a meeting probably a week from this Sunday, probably the 4th, and explain what we're doing. I know Ray would like to have at least 12 people, like 6 ladies, 6 men. And we'll probably go in on Sunday afternoon between 1 and 3. And the reason you can only meet, there's like in the jail, I know we're out of time, there's like 8 groups of men and like 4 groups of lady in the jail. And we can only see 1 group of guys and 1 group of ladies each time we go in. So probably the Hope City people are going to see 1 group of guys and 1 group of ladies on Monday night. And we'll see 1 group of guys and 1 group of ladies on a Sunday afternoon. So it'll be every 2 or 3 weeks before people get to go to church in jail. So that's kind of what's going on. If you're interested, let me know. We'll need to get your license to Ray. I sent him my license yesterday. I'm probably just going to be like a substitute. I can't really spare the time. Ray's going to be over it. But there'll probably be 2 guys meet with guys, 2 ladies meet with ladies, or a man and wife meet with the ladies. But I don't think we'll allow any ladies to see the men. That just wouldn't be wise, probably. So anyway, let me pray, but let me know if you are interested. So let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this time studying from history, from your word, from artificial intelligence, Lord. And I know you've allowed these things, and whether they be just your direct will or just you've permitted it, Lord, we kind of marvel at these things that we don't fully understand. And Lord, we thank you for the Bible that we do have. We thank you we can cross-reference it. We can look at these things in Daniel and how so many years ago you talked about things that haven't even happened yet. And we praise you for that, Lord. We praise you for this Prince of Princes, that he is coming again. And Lord, we will hear the call to come up hither and meet you in the clouds in the air, and we'll ever be with you. And so we look forward to that. And while we're here, help us to be good stewards. I pray good health on each of these folks here and those online maybe. I pray, Lord, for our hearts, that in the middle of activity and busyness, Lord, that we will not just be busy, but we can be effective, Lord. We can just make maybe not change the world, but we can make an impact, Lord, in these last days. And I know we're swimming against the stream, so to speak. And Lord, give us grace, give us wisdom, give us courage, give us the amount of finances we need, the amount of health. And so, Lord, bless this group this coming year, and we'll give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.